In the Gospel today, the centurion prays, O Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today's Domini Nuncium Dignus makes for three in the Mass, the Gospel, the original setting, and then the priest who prays that for himself three times and again three times for you at your communion. Last time we studied a little bit the Domine Nuncium Dignus. You will remember, too, last time's topic, how that the Holy Communion is the third principal part of the Mass. The first is the offertory, and the second is the consecration, which is the immolation or the sacrifice sacramentally accomplished, the separate consecrations of bread and wine representing the death of our Lord, his body separated from his blood. And then the third, the victim, the host, which must be destroyed or consummated in offering a sacrifice. In the Old Testament and in early history, in the natural sacrifice, the victim would be usually consumed by fire or would be poured out. In the Old Testament, however, there was a certain kind of sacrifice called a communion sacrifice, in which the victim was consumed by those who made the offering. The Holy Mass is a communion sacrifice, where the consummation is the priest's communion, and if possible, that of the faithful who offer with him. So the Mass is not merely a way, you mustn't think of it this way, it's not a way to get to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, to have him in the tabernacle. That's, with the exception of the tabernacle part, that's the Protestant idea, that's a communion service. It's just a way for communion. What is Holy Communion? It is our perfect participation in the one infinite sacrifice of Calvary. What is Holy Communion? It is our way to give God our worship, and for God in turn in his goodness to give us his grace along with his Son. Our communion with Christ and Christ's communion with us. Communion, union with him who offers himself to the Father and then to us, his children. Did you know the priest receives communion twice at every Mass? The sacred host he receives first, and then he pauses, and then he makes a second communion directly after. That is to say, he receives the precious blood, which serves as his thanksgiving for the first, and that gives you an idea of how best you may return thanks to God for all that he has given to you. Almighty God could not bestow a greater gift than himself, which comes to us in the blessed sacrament, the body, the blood of Jesus Christ. For man, then, there's no better way of saying thanks, of giving gratitude, than, as they used to say in the old days, to approach the holy table again as soon as possible on another day. Because this proves our appreciation, our gratitude to Almighty God for giving us his beloved Son. Unworthy though we be, he comes to be the healing of our souls. When the priest receives, then, the sacrifice is consummated. That's why the bells are rung for his Domine Nuncium Dignus. The Savior's mission as the Lamb of sacrifice is fulfilled. But now there remains your Holy Communion for us to study this morning. The server, or in his absence, the priest, after the consumption of the precious blood, says the Confiteor, as a public declaration of sorrow for sin on the part of those going to Holy Communion. No wonder traditional Catholics love it and are very attached to it, even though John the 23rd abolished this communion confiteor before Vatican II in the early 60s. Nevertheless, traditional Catholics were so insistent that even groups like Pius X, who follow this modernized missal, go back to the old one to continue with the confiteor before communion. And they do well, for it is a prayer designed to awaken the acknowledgement of our sin, and that's so easily forgotten. Before God, I confess, before Mary, sinless, immaculate, and great St. Michael the Archangel with his sword, and Saints Peter and Paul, and all the saints who stand here today and listen to my confession, not as accusers. I'm the accuser, and I say these words with my hand open, with honesty. Mea culpa, through my fault, and through my fault, and through my most grievous fault the third time. The saints are our intercessors at this crucial centurion moment. He's coming under my roof. I know that I can never be worthy, there's no question of that, but I can be well disposed by my sincere and efficacious, that means having a follow-through act of contrition and confiteor. Then the priest genuflects, and he half turns to the people without turning his back on the Blessed Sacrament. It's an interesting movement. You might look at it sometime. Father does something similar when he descends from the altar, when our Lord is in the monstrance on the altar, because that shows our great reverence. We don't turn our back here on God. The confiteor is a sacramental intended for the forgiveness of venial sins, and thus the priest concludes it by two prayers. May Almighty God have mercy upon you and forgive you your sins and bring you to life everlasting. And may the Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, absolution, and remission of your sins. Then the priest turns to the altar again and genuflects and takes one host between his right forefinger and thumb, and turning to the people, says, with the host held aloft over the ciborium, Ecce Agnus Dei, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who taketh away the sins of the world. He calls him Lamb, the priest does, as St. John the Baptist did when first he saw him, to signify his passion. And that is why there are so many lambs each year gathered around the crib at Christmas time, to stand for his death when he washed away our sins. The words of the Domine Nuncium Dignus express the best possible dispositions for communion. Two things, humility and honesty, owning up to my own imperfections, but more, my misery. And I say that with confidence because St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that misery calls out to God for mercy, and he grants it if it is asked. But also, there's an essential confidence, the word means with trust here, that he will take away the stains of my sin, because that is why he is here. He is my Jesus, my Savior. Then, the priest and the people descend reverently to the communion rail. This is where it is customary at this church to crash a kneeler or two by kicking at it with your feet. And sometimes I stop and I think, you distract me. I stop and I think, really? At communion time? You couldn't just squeeze by or maneuver your feet carefully or bend over and use your hands? Must that be done? Do it silently. If we all work together, we can restore reverence to this most sacred moment of the Mass. And then you come to the rail and you kneel down, the whole thing quietly and with recollection, that's capital, with your eyes down, and then you put your hands, folded like this, under the communion cloth. It's called the houseling cloth, from the old English word for communion. And this serves as a traditional, and according to canon law, required protection for the sacred host to catch it if it should fall. It also reminds us of what? The banquet of eternal life. It looks like a kind of a tablecloth or a linen napkin that we tuck into. And for that same purpose, the server holds a little golden plate called a paten as well, the reverence of the Mass, to catch the little pearls, we studied them last time, the little particles that may have fallen off the sacred host, because that contains the real presence. As the priest approaches, he makes over you the sign of the cross with the sacred host for two purposes: to signify the very body which hung upon the cross, and secondly, to bless you one last time. But you do not, directly before or after communion, make the sign of the cross. Jesus is himself now your blessing. May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve thy soul unto life everlasting. And the priest gives you communion. How do you receive? You kneel with your head back and your eyes closed. Do not look at the priest. And you have your tongue out. Do not make the priest look for your tongue or try to find an opening in your mouth so that you may receive our Lord. Little children may be brought to the rail because it is customary to give them a blessing, but they must be reminded by their parents to place a finger over their mouth, lest an early first communion occur. Do not make Father guess. And then you, having now received, this is capital too, pause for a moment. Swallow the sacred host. This is your Holy Communion. Try to receive our Lord with great love. And as I've noted, do not make the sign of the cross lest you knock the server's paten. Just swallow our Lord. But do not jump up right away automatically and dart off. And do not permit children to do this. Parents, you must, or grandparents if necessary, you must train your children to take their time at this holy moment, and they'll do it that way for the rest of their lives once you've trained them, and to go back with their hands folded and their eyes cast down, walking reverently back to their places. If you should not be able to swallow the sacred host right away, not to worry, because sometimes your mouth may be dry. Then in that case, you will be able to swallow the sacred host in a moment or two. And if you wish to, you may be at that time returning to your pew. And then kneel down when you get there. Kneel down and cover your face with your hands. That's how we were taught as children. That's the traditional way. Pray quietly in your own words, if you must say something, but sometimes you just want to be quiet with God. Welcome him. Love him. Tell him thank you, adore him, and promise him anything you know he's waiting to hear from you. And ask him. This is your moment, says St. Teresa of Avila. Ask him for your needs. Don't waste this opportunity, this precious moment. Don't waste it by looking around, fidgeting, or people watching, not in church, not at communion. When the first minute or two of quiet peace passes, then you may certainly, if you care to, continue your prayer in your own words or following the prayers in your missal or prayer book. Then begins your time of thanksgiving. You should be making at least a 10-minute thanksgiving, which may be extended fruitfully for a few minutes at least after Mass. Think of it. What is happening? A great Spanish prelate, St. Thomas of Villanova, he exclaims, "What is sweeter? What's more precious? What's more blissful than this divine food? The hungry person is satisfied. The needy receives it and has his fill. The depressed partake of it and are inebriated with heavenly bliss. I found that interesting. So long ago, the 16th century, this bishop speaks about the modern disease of depression and its antidote, Holy Communion. The just man partakes of it and becomes still more just. The devout, penitent, receives and becomes purified. The sick partake of it and enjoy a spiritual convalescence. And the dying person partakes of it and takes it with him as the surest pledge unto eternal life. It's the pledge of every heavenly blessing and grace, our Holy Communion. Truly, today, I pray, may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ keep your soul unto life everlasting. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.